back in to Fesco and Dusty on this rainy Thursday morning, but it is sunshines and smiles in the studio. Shout out to Janae Melvin.
Yeah, I love you, Janae.
She shouted us out on Twitter or X, says, Lordy, that's a lot of Bob Fesco and Dusty Likens on a Thursday morning. She's got the stream live on her big screen TV. Be like Janae Melvin and share the love.
That's right. Janae's good people. Great people. She came out to the last Hy-Vee remote, got herself a steak lunch.
We might have food next week for hot dog toppings. My buddy Dennis, family friend, says you need to put chow chow on that hot dog. I don't know if you ever had chow chow. It is like a mixed medley of vegetables.
Oh, like a jardiniere type thing?
Similar. Yeah. Oh, they make it fresh from their garden. It's delicious. Right. They also do their own canned pickles and all that sort of stuff. So, remember when you had those that one time?
Yeah.
I brought them in. It was like, I was filling in, I think, for Ryan.
Yeah.
And I was like, I'll bring you in a can of pickles or a jar of pickles, and you had them, and you're the best pickles you'll ever eat.
Yeah, so I was out at Home Field yesterday, which is a great new facility doing, like, they're going to bring 2 million people into Kansas City this year for sports tourism, just them alone.
Perfect.
I mean, that's unbelievable, right? And they sell, like, these mini hot dogs, but they're not like when you think, like mini hot dogs. They're like a small version of a hot dog on a bun, and they've created something they called Pickle de gallo, and it's chopped up pickles and like looks like pico, but it's pickle de gallo, and it goes on top of these hot dogs with a little mustard.
I'm like,
those look pretty good. I didn't get a picture of them yesterday because everybody was eating them at the Leadership Kansas convention. I'm like, damn, give me a chance to take a picture of the pickle de gallo hot dogs.
Two things I learned today. Bob Fesco is a foodie, and Bob Fesco is just like every weatherman in the city, wrong.
Yeah.
It's still raining green. It'll be gone in a second. We got a tea time later. You want to get everybody off the golf course?
Shout out Caribbean enthusiasm. I just want to get, that is a good one. I just want to get everybody to Hy-Vee at 11 o'clock at 95th and Antioch and not have to worry about the rain today. It's steak day.
Somebody from the 913 says, got my phone propped up by a stick of butter while I watch you in the shower.
There you go. So it was funny.
Tell me more.
I was telling you about my friend who uses like butter in the shower, right?
Yeah.
Because he's an arborist.
And that's right.
So I was talking to his wife on Tuesday at the tennis match for the kids. And she goes, yeah, somebody said to my husband, they go, Bob Fesco was talking about this arborist who uses butter in the shower. And he goes, yeah, that was me he was talking about.
That's right. Is it true? Yeah. This was Andy Reid yesterday on the newly acquired Kareem Hunt to the Kansas City Chiefs, who, by the way, will be wearing the number 29. For those of you that are wondering what number he will wear or what he will look like on the field when he does get there. Number 29, and this is Andy Reid on number 29.
Well, just calling around and making sure that things were okay. Pat stayed good friends with him. So he was at Pat's wedding, and so, you know, those two came out in the same class and developed a friendship here. And then their general manager spoke highly of him, so coaches and so on. So we felt good about it.
Andy Reid on the acquiring of Kareem Hunt and what he's been going through the last couple of years. This was Mahomes on what is, I guess, a friend of his and a wedding invitee.
Everybody has friends that make mistakes, and obviously some are bigger than others. But at the same time, you want to make the person better. You want to see them taking the right steps to become a better person for themselves, their family, and the rest of society. And so I think you've seen that with Kareem. And so I've stayed in touch with him just to see how he's doing, how his family's doing, everything like that. And he's been able to carve out a great career in the NFL, but I mean, you've seen he's been able to keep his nose clean and be a better person, and that's what you want in order to make everybody better people.
So let's check the boxes. General manager got the apology, head coach got the apology, starting quarterback of the franchise got the apology. I think we're good.
I think we're good. Well, people will say, what about the owner? Because ultimately, that's what led to the demise of Kareem Hunt here.
Yeah.
I would imagine Clark gave the blessing for the Chiefs to go out and sign him. I don't think this is one of those things where Brett Veach just went and signed the guy and said, I'll beg for forgiveness later, right? No, you go to Clark and you say, hey, here's the situation. What do you think? Are you okay with this? And I'm sure there were some behind-the-scenes stuff that we'll never know about and discussed and whatnot.
And it's not our business.
It's not. No, it really isn't. And if Clark, who was the one who was lied to, is comfortable bringing Kareem Hunt back, then you know what? We welcome him back with open arms. And Andy has done a marvelous job over his career of giving people second opportunities. This was a gentleman who was coaching the Eagles at the time and went and visited Michael Vick in Leavenworth. Mm-hmm. I mean, so he's been giving guys second chances and second opportunities. Does Kareem Hunt deserve a second opportunity? Sure, he does. What he did, not the lying part. I don't care about the lying part as much as I do about the domestic stuff that we all saw, right? Like that's bad stuff. But at 22, 23 years old, you're still a kid. You're still not, you know, fully an adult at that point in time. Not excusing anything that Kareem Hunt did at all, but people make mistakes, and as they get older, they mature, and they look back and they go, God, that was a terrible mistake by me, and I'm sorry for that mistake. And if the Chiefs are at that point, then I'm interested to see what he can do, because if he's effective at all, he could be somebody that could potentially help them. I know from conversations that I had, they say he is yoked. He is ready to go from that standpoint. Needed to build his stamina back up to be kind of in football shape, but that doesn't take as long as we want to believe it does. And so if they believe he can help this team three-peat and get back to the Super Bowl again, then, hey, let's see what we have in Kareem Hunt. It doesn't hurt to bring a guy in and see what he has. And maybe he has something left in the tank, or something we were kind of talking about off the air. Maybe he turns into Craig Kimbrell, or he's just lost it all and he doesn't ever get it back. So we'll see over the course of time where Kareem Hunt is and what this team is going to do from a running back standpoint.
And this was Andy Reid on a timeline.
Well,
it's vague.
Get him in here and get some work, kind of get him back in the swing of playing. And then we'll just see, you know, as the game gets closer, we'll see how things go there and so on. But we try to get him in a position where he's ready to play either this week, next week, or the following week. We'll just see how long it takes.
And we heard Nate Taylor, who joined us earlier from The Athletic, that said Carson Steele will be RB1, but there's time for Mac to geek out here, because there's another name that we're not mentioning that Mac would like to talk about for a second.
Well, I just think it's worth mentioning he's on the active roster in what is a shallow kind of question mark filled running back room. I mean, Keontae Ingram was just uplifted to the active roster yesterday. He's been in the league, I think, for
good now.
2 years. Yeah, I know, right? He's been in the league for 2 years. I think this is his third season. He was drafted in the sixth round out of Carthage.
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 Missouri?
I think Texas. Mm.
Carthage? Is that a college?
Should be.
Yeah. Well, I don't know.
No, high school. They drafted him out of high school.
Carthage? Honest to God, I've heard of Carthage, Missouri.
We used to drive through Carthage on the way to the lake in Shell Knob.
Yeah, right. I mean, Carthage, I don't know what that is. Yeah. I don't even know who he is.
No. He was born in Carthage. I'm so sorry. He went to USC. He transferred from Texas,
but
he went
difference.
To USC.
He's out of Carthage. Excuse me?
Yeah.
62 carries for 134 yards. And he just doesn't have a lot of work.
Doesn't that also just sound like a typical Brett Veach find? Like,
exactly.
Oh, God, here comes a guy that no one's heard of, and then all of a sudden, Lewis Riddick's on, you know, ESPN on Monday morning going, he did it again.
Right, right. No, that is a where'd you find him? Well, we were down in Carthage one time having a sandwich, and then we saw this guy, and we're like, we got to bring him into Kansas City. And so, I don't know anything about the guy, but we'll see. Again, the running back position for me, I don't care who plays the running back position. Andy Reid has dominated and owned that position since he's been here in Kansas City. Ware and West won us a Super Bowl.
Were they on the roster?
They were on that roster.
That first Super Bowl? Absolutely. Yeah. Spencer Ware and Charkandrick West? Spencer Ware should have been the MVP. I'm sorry, Damian Williams.
Damian Darrell Williams.
But they won games with Spencer Ware and Charkandrick West. Once Jamal Charles went down, they put those guys in. They became, and then, I'm sorry, you're right. Williams and Dan Williams and who was the other guy?
Williams and Williams. It was Darrell and Damian.
Yeah.
Damian and Darrell.
Right, So they won games and been in big-time situations with running backs you've never heard of before. And again, remember, Isaiah Pacheco, a seventh-round running back.
Yep, out of Rutgers. Daryl and your other brother Damian.
Damian.
Yeah. Hi, I'm Daryl. This is my other brother, Damian.
Wait, you guys are brothers?
I think Hunt provides a spark, though. I'm excited.
Going back, and I know we got to get to break, because then we'll have Alex Gold come into the studio and talk about bets and Goldilocks. But, look, we saw the video when he got pulled over for the DUI, how crazy it affected him mentally, where he's like, I could have been a Super Bowl champion.
Right. Crying.
Now you get your chance. But not only that, you get your chance on a team that's going to set history to win a three-peat in the NFL that's never been done. That gives you a little spark. And look, it's a new face in a new place. Cleveland sucks. Kansas City doesn't. And you can maybe see the wheels turn a little bit faster in the 29-year-old running back when given that chance. And again, he will wear number 29.
Yeah.
So we'll see what happens.
Yeah, we'll see. Hopefully he adds something to the party. And if he does, great. If he doesn't, well, we didn't lose anything.
Speaking of 29, the 29-year-old Alex Gold will join us for his Goldilocks on the other side here on Fesco and Dusty on 96.5 The Fan. I'm a perfect 96.5 The Fan here on 96.5 The Fan, your home for Kansas City sports.
You're listening to Fesco and Dusty on your home for Kansas City sports, 96.5 The Fan. Welcome back to Fesco and Dusty on your home for Kansas City sports. 96.5, The Fan. It's time for Golden Locks with Alex Gold.
Gotta figure out how to make money on this thing. It's simply too good.
Dusty, a little shout out to the Mission Police Department this morning. They got that tree moved.
There we go. Nice work, boys.
And gals.
And ladies.
There's a lady I talked to this morning, a Mission police officer, female lady, was sitting in the Target parking lot. I'm like, we got this down tree. What are we going to do?
Yeah, Bob was afraid he was going to get a ticket this morning. Because I don't know if you remember the stories.
The parking lot.
If you used to drive through Target, they'd pull you over.
I do that all the time.
Yeah,
you're not supposed to.
You're such a rebel.
It's a quick shortcut to get to the Chick-fil-A, you know?
Well, I understand, but it's illegal, and I hope you get a ticket.
Okay. They're waiting for
I hope
now.
They ticket my wife when she does stuff illegally on the road. Okay. And the best part about it is now my daughter's taking driver's ed, so she is correcting my wife all the time
you
in the car.
It, don't you?
And I love every minute of it.
Yeah, that ego, yeah, dad.
Mom, you didn't use your blinker, you didn't do this, you know, all that kind of stuff. My daughter has her first job interview today.
Oh.
9:15 tonight.
Do you remember your first job?
That's late. Interviews at 9:15?
Yeah, on Zoom. It's real late. Yeah,
still.
Yeah, for Twisted Sugar.
She better get
the cookies there are amazing.
Yeah, right.
She
should
just get the job for logging in and saying hi.
Her friend has a job interview at 9, then she has one at 9:15. I think another friend of theirs has 9:30. Like, they stack. The place closes at 9, obviously. Yeah. So
my first job was a bagger at Price Chopper.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Nicely done. What was your first job,
Henhouse.
Alex? Henhouse. Yeah. My first job was at ShopRite working at the grocery store in the produce department.
So if you want to get into sports radio,
go work at a grocery store.
Yeah. It'll teach you how
that's
to be.
The path.
Yep. That's how you do it.
What are you going to ask like 14 and 15 year olds in a job interview? So what experience do you have?
Oh.
None.
Have you met my father?
Yeah.
It's a job in itself. No, but in seriousness, before we get into Goldilocks, I want to bring this up. I asked this to Nate Taylor. Do you know who has the second best odds to score a touchdown this weekend in the Chiefs Falcons game? Number one is Bijan Robinson.
Okay. Normally this would be a Travis Kelce answer, but I'm guessing because you're asking me, that's not the case.
Good.
So yeah. I'll go ahead and say Xavier Worthy.
Carson Steele.
Yeah. Starting running back on Sunday.
And I think that the reason why, and you can correct me because you're the gambling guy and you know more than I do on this, Alex. I think the reason he has those odds that way is because they feel like the betting public is just going to pour all their money on some random Chiefs running back because of the situation with Isaiah Pacheco.
I think part of it, we know the public always is going to go to the bigger number, right? So that's part of it. But I don't know how you guys view the backfield. I'm
committee
fantasy wise, betting wise. I'm kind of staying away.
Yeah,
it, with Andy too, in particular. Like, who knows what he has up his sleeve? I think Carson Steele is going to get the most opportunities on Sunday, so maybe that's enough for you. Mm-hmm. But I don't know. Like, it sounds simple that if they got the ball out at the 3 yard line, that he's for sure the guy they're going to hand to. But we all know Xavier Worthy could be coming through on a jet sweep or something. I don't trust it from a bet on an anytime Carson Steele touchdown. Maybe the yardage is the bet. You know, we can get into that 41 and a half yards for Carson Steele.
Do you trust that the Chiefs could get 3 yards?
they'll just kick the field goal, fourth and goal.
In this incarnation of this offense, watching them try to get a yard is still one of the worst things to watch.
It is, but it's bizarre because we all know the interior is maybe the best in football.
Right.
We all, Tooney and Creed and Trey, like, they're all great at what they do. But for whatever reason, this is a 3-4 year problem now.
Yeah.
Yeah. I did a little 3-leg parlay just to see what it would look like with Travis Kelce because we all think this is the game, obviously, if it's going to happen.
Like this is the breakout game.
His over-under in receptions is 4.5. His over-under in yards is 48.5. This is all DraftKings. And in any time touchdown, I put them all three together. It's weird. It's only plus 225.
So that might mean his anytime touchdown number still is minus money.
It's like plus 130.
It's probably because of that. Last week we were in here, we were talking about Kelce. And at that time I was like, man, we're never going to see a 50.5 on the board yardage. Mm-hmm. And sure enough, it's 48.5. So it only went down a little bit, but he was so close. I mean, the penalty gets called back. Right. Otherwise, he's over 50 easily last week.
Mm-hmm.
He, of course, is at, you know, an inch away from a touchdown. We could be sitting here saying, oh, he had 58 yards and a touchdown. Everything's cool. But he did, you know, it gets called back, and instead, everybody nationally.
But that's why you can't look at stats. You got to look at the game situations. Mm-hmm. Everybody is so wedded and beholden to the stats because they don't want to watch the games. They just want to look at the numbers and go, oh, my God, Travis stunk. 41 yards were taken away by an illegal hand to the face penalty.
Yeah. And so I want to get in, before we get into the Chiefs, real quick, tonight's game is Jets-Patriots. I want nothing to do with it because I don't know anything about this. I know that the Patriots they got the surprise win in week one. Jacoby Brissett's still there. Aaron Rodgers can't throw for more than 170 yards.
And the Jets' defense is hot ass.
like me some hot ass. But I
maybe it's cold ass though.
I think it's probably cold
or just ass.
But like, what do you like in this game tonight? If anything, maybe the under.
Yeah, so I'm staying away from the spread. I'm kind of with you. We're, by the way, for those wondering, Patriots 6.5-point underdogs, and it has been the season of underdogs though.
Yeah.
This season, and if you're anybody that's been betting, you're like, man, this has been a brutal first 2 weeks.
Right.
I'm right there with you. In the NFL, it has not been the best. That's kind of everybody. The betting public is off to their worst start 2 weeks into the NFL season since 2003. So you're not alone. You know, if you're like, man, this has been brutal.
Vegas is loving them some Vegas right now.
Vegas has been doing very well. Underdogs of 7 or more points this season are 3-0 just outright. Not
3-0
even
straight up. Straight up. I saw that number. That's crazy.
And through 2 weeks, and it's the first time dogs of 7 or more are above 500 straight up since 1983. So it's just been a rough start if you've been betting on the NFL for the most part. But tonight's game, there's a couple props I'm looking at. Ramondre Stevenson, the running back for the Patriots, his over-under 64.5. Nobody has caused more missed tackles in the NFL running the ball than him. And on the flip side, to Bob's point about the Jets defense being ass, they're one of the worst in terms of tackling runners. So I think there's an opportunity, even if it's an ugly game. Ramondre Stevenson's pretty consistent. Mm-hmm. Like you're comfortable betting, depending on where you can find the number. Right now at FanDuel, it's 64.5.
The Jets have given up the second most points in the AFC this year. And for 2 years, we've been hearing about how great this Jets defense is and whatnot. Oh, just get Aaron Rodgers back. Well, now they got Aaron Rodgers back and the defense got old. Like, people don't ever factor that into sports. Like, just because you were good last year doesn't guarantee you're going to be good the next year, because, you know, right off the cliff. And that's where, like, Sauce Gardner has failed to show up to work now for the first two games of this season. I'm wondering, like, if the Jets defense being that bad is going to have New England kind of stay around and be in this game. Like, they shouldn't be in this game. But man, this Jets defense is just gross right now.
Because of the underdog trend, you're seeing a lot of money come in on the Patriots to cover. Not necessarily to win outright, but because of what we just referenced. I mean, underdogs have been staying in these games. And, you know, when we talk college and NFL, that's the one thing to keep in mind. Like, 6.5-point spread in college football, like, man, that's pretty tough to cover. In the NFL, it's very rare we see blowouts in the NFL.
Right.
I mean, of course, there's been a couple, right? The Panthers in week one and in week two got blown out. But very infrequently do we see that actually happen. As far as the quarterbacks in this game, though, both of them just do not throw the ball down the field. They're bottom five in the NFL in terms of air yards and everything like that. So if you're looking at their passing totals, Aaron Rodgers, 215.5. Jacoby Brissett, 163.5.
Oh, my God.
And we know yardage is down anyway. I mean, hell, Patrick Mahomes was throwing for under 200 yards.
Mm-hmm.
So that's an interesting prop for me as well. Aaron Rodgers, if you think that there's a correction happening or not, but he might just not be fully recovered from the Achilles. I think he's been Mr. Checkdown so far, and I think both teams are going to want to run the ball. Breece Hall's great on the Jets side.
Yeah.
So this is a low-scoring game, and the total has continued to go down. It's down to 38.5 points, guys.
Wow.
It looks like it's going
to
be
Aaron Rodgers was supposed to be like an all-world quarterback for the Jets, I was told by the New York media, who are all Jet fans.
Let's dive into the Chiefs in hot Atlanta this weekend. It is 3.5 still Kansas City. I figured that number might have gone down a little bit more after that comeback win for Kirk Cousins on Sunday Night Football or Monday Night Football. And I still like the Chiefs because I don't see Kirk Cousins winning back-to-back primetime games. Obviously, he just won his fourth Monday Night Football game and I think 11 attempts. I don't know, though. I'm kind of confused on this game because I know it's in a dome, and if I could have Binkley on the show, which he'll be on tonight, I know he's going to lead with Patrick Mahomes' numbers inside of the dome. But again, Chiefs laying 3.5 on this game against Atlanta.
So the line for this game, I think there's a chance we see it get back to 4. I'd be surprised if it goes down to 3.
Mm-hmm.
Again, we've talked about the key numbers before. It's pretty. The half point's a big deal here. I mean, most NFL games are decided by 3 points or less, so that's what's a little tricky here. If you can find it at 3, or it's worth maybe buying it down to a half point, and so it's going to cost you a little bit more. So instead of minus 105, 110, maybe it's minus 130. That might be something to look at. The one thing with Atlanta, and I'm sure as you guys have just been talking about this game in general, Kirk Cousins, do we buy that last drive of the season, of the game on Monday night, has changed his entire season? For the team, it did. It saved the team season, but he even admitted he is not totally sharp, fully recovered from the Achilles injury. And I don't know about you, the defensive props I looked this morning, they're not there on FanDuel yet, but I cannot wait to see what's the number for Chris Jones to get a sack. You know, is it plus 110, plus 140. Karl Loftus, what's his sack number? Because Cousins is a statue back there.
Right, he is.
And,
yes,
and we know Spags, whether it – maybe it's, maybe if they give us a Chamari Connor option. Like, Spags is going to blitz the hell out of the Falcons, and this is the right quarterback to do it against. So I'm kind of interested in some of the defensive props in this game. I think the Chiefs are going to get after Kirk Cousins.
I think they are as well, and I also think it's going to be a big week for Chris Jones. I think he's going to have multiple sacks in this game. I think it's going to be a big game for Travis Kelce as well. I think he hits all the overs on everything and has everybody shutting up on Monday morning about the fact that he's washed and all that kind of stuff. Right?
Sunday Night Football.
Well, that's the other thing, too. It's a big stage. Everybody's talking about it this week. He talked about it this week. He's going to the house of Tony Gonzalez, you know, down there in Atlanta. So I just think it all and without the running back and all that kind of stuff, I just think it all shapes up for Travis Kelce to go out there and have a big week. I think they're going to feature him. And, you know, you started that conversation, Alex, saying, you know, 3.5 points, most games in the NFL are 3 points or less. And we seemingly say that every week, yet we always seemingly see Chiefs fans that go, I don't understand why we're not blowing teams out. I don't get all this. Like, the expectation for what you expect the Chiefs to do needs to be on par with what goes on in the NFL. They are the best team in the league, but everybody in this league is good. Every team is just a couple maybe players away from being great. And for the Chiefs to win games, it doesn't matter by how many points you win, you survive, and you advance. So I want to stress that, like, 3.5 is still a pretty big number in the NFL.
It is. Yeah. I mean, we would all love a nice, easy second half game. You guys would love it. You got to get up early the next day. You would love for them to be up by 17 with 20 minutes to go in the game. We would all love that. It's just typically not how it goes.
And even at that point, the game ain't over. You know, we see wild things in that fourth quarter.
Yeah, that's what makes the NFL great. The whole witching hour thing is witching hour for a reason.
Right,
these games flip just like that. So
that's right.
The total for the game is 46.5. The Chiefs went over the total last week against Cincinnati. I think Cincy scored more than we thought. But I don't know about you guys. The defense for Kansas City, while the tight ends have been the story, giving up points to tight ends or yardage to tight ends, I still feel pretty good about where this defense is at. If you're thinking about that, unless you think the Chiefs offense is going to score 30-plus, the under is kind of interesting for me in this game. I still haven't seen enough from the Falcons consistently to believe they're going to move
the ball. Yeah, one drive does not change your perception. Yeah. They didn't score a touchdown in their first game against the Steelers, you know?
That is very true. Kyle Pitts is a tough one for me this week from a betting perspective, because on one hand, every tight end, Isaiah Likely and Gesicki, have both gotten the best of Kansas City. Kyle Pitts is one of the most overrated players in the NFL. Everybody's been talking about him for years. So is this the week the Chiefs actually buckle down on the tight end? Or is it, hey, this is what it's going to be, but they've locked down every single number one wide receiver? I mean, Jamar Chase didn't do anything. Zay Flowers didn't do anything. So am I worried about Drake London, or am I worried about Kyle Pitts? Who do I not want to let beat me?
And that's why the tight ends have been so big. And I think that's a great point. People will look, oh, they give up. Like, you can't physically take every player out of the game. You go into every game, and we talked about this, I think, the other day, Dusty. You go into every game going, all right, we're not going to let Jamar Chase beat us, okay? And if the tight end beats us over the middle, so be it. We'll tip our cap and we'll move on. But we're not letting Zay Flowers, we're not letting Jamar Chase beat us. And for two straight games, the top two wide receivers didn't do anything. You look at what Trent McDuffie has done this year.
He's awesome.
He's been on the field for 100 plays. He's been targeted 7 times, and he has given up 3 completions for 24 yards. So they're taking out the number one weapon. And when you take out the number one weapon, well, sometimes those ancillary guys are just going to beat you, right?
Yeah, and Kyle Pitts over under 37.5 yards. If you think the tight end trend continues, that's a pretty low number. And then Drake London, 60.5. So those are some of their top two targets besides, you know, Bijan Robinson.
Yeah.
We talk about tight ends. What do you think's the safer bet? Kyle Pitts at -20 for 37.5. Travis Kelce -10 at 48.5, according to DraftKings.
I mean, honestly, probably Kyle Pitts right now. Even though I think we're all in agreement, this feels like a big game for Travis Kelce. But have we? What makes us believe that suddenly in coverage from the linebackers is going to get that much better? It has an impact in them winning a football game. But 37.5, with the way they've played against tight ends, I think they're going to say, we'll go ahead and shut down Drake London and Robinson more. And if Kyle Pitts goes off for a little bit, that's fine.
And I think you nailed it. Let's look at the college ranks a little bit. And I'm going to start with Kansas, because as I tell people all the time, Kansas is one of those teams like washed. You're either a fan of or you hate. But everybody's always interested in Kansas because they lose and ha ha ha. We love to mock the fans and all that kind of stuff. And then Kansas fans root for their team, and it's like meltdown central, right? Like, everybody has an interest in what Kansas does. What in the hell are you looking at from a betting standpoint this week as they take on, West Virginia this week? They stink right now, and their quarterback is even worse.
That's the issue. So I hate to give you this answer, but I'll be honest, I am staying away from this game for the very reasons you just brought up. I mean, how can I approach this game? They've burned me the first 2 weeks of the last 2 weeks of the season from a betting perspective, both on the total, both on the spread as well. And you said it, when you don't know about the quarterback, and maybe we do know, maybe we've already learned that Jalen Daniels is just not the same quarterback anymore that he was a couple of years ago. But you couple it also with a brand new play caller who's been under the gun here the last week or so, understandably so, with some of the play calling. I think this is the game not only that decides whether or not they're going to cover the 2.5 points for your individual bet, but whether or not this is going to be a team that recovers and still wins six games, or if this is going to be ugly this
like
year.
The Mangino year, like after, or was it 09 maybe?
The
was
year, really, they started 5-0
and then pooped the bed the rest
the
of the way.
Game or whatever it was.
And then Mangino was too mean to players.
Pre-prime, you know. Dusty.
I know.
Pre-prime.
Yeah, he was still missing toes at the time.
Yeah, but
what's his name was the coach then?
Dave Niehaus?
No, was that Hawkins?
Drew Neuheisel?
No, was that Dan Hawkins at the time?
It may have been, yeah.
Sadie Hawkins dance.
Yeah, it could have been. I don't remember. Like, Colorado's had 1,000 football coaches over the years. But I just look at like this Kansas team right now. You this is a big week, right? Like, are you going to be Kansas of the past? Are you going to wash those away and move forward? And you know it's desperate times, and fans are complaining where the offensive coordinator is calling plays from. If you get to that point of the season, you might as well find something else to do.
Yeah, that'll fix everything. Put them up in the booth.
It has no impact.
Yeah.
It has no impact where the offensive coordinator is. Andy's on the sidelines.
Yeah, but I'm staying away from the game betting-wise. Okay. I just have no interest in betting it.
Colorado, I want to bring this up. They're 1.5 favorite over Baylor at home this week. You stay away from that.
No, I'm actually on your Buffs this week.
Hey,
I'm actually on your Buffs.
Get him to go 3-1, and then that's the last one of the season.
That's it.
Okay,
that's it.
I figured that was the backside of that question.
This might be the last one of the year for the Colorado Buffs.
Well, they got K-State on the schedule. They've got Oklahoma State on the schedule. They got they've got Utah on the schedule.
I'm just naming opponents.
Yeah. I mean, if you're buying into KU right now, I don't know what you've been watching. No, I'm just saying in general. Like, there's nothing to buy into right now.
Did you have Boston College covering last week?
No, what we were on the under. That was actually one of the few college bets that hit last week.
And then this year, or this week, Mizzou and Vandy.
Yeah, so I like Missouri minus 20.5. It's a huge spread. But at home, I was very impressed with Missouri last week. They get down early, and by halftime, they were back up on Boston College. Yeah. They got punched in the mouth early. I was impressed. And as a favorite of 17 points or more, Missouri historically, 53-0 straight up. Since
53-0
straight up, and 30-22-1 against the spread. So, and I understand this is other regimes as well, but I think they're the real deal, guys. I think Missouri.
Yeah, they're
the real
good. They're really good. They're a really, 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 really good football team. But they're also taking on Vanderbilt, who has not been good ever.
Yeah, it's been one of the worst SEC programs.
And then the Wildcats at the BYU team.
So out west, you're dealing with the altitude. It's late night. It's actually a really good environment out there in Provo, Utah. BYU's covered each of its last five and three straight as a dog of 7 or more, but it's gone down to 6.5. Way back in June, you could have bet this game. They do these books in Vegas will do. They call them their games of the year. It's just the way they package preseason games, essentially. And K-State at that point was a 12.5 point favorite. Now, in season, they're down to a 6.5. It was 7-point favorite. So I think you're actually getting some good value on the Wildcats. This will be tougher than people think for the first half. But I am on the Kansas State Wildcats. I should clarify, the Kansas State Wildcats here.
Okay.
What are the other Wildcats?
The Cougars and Wildcats, same thing, you know?
Cougars and Wildcats are the same thing?
Yeah.
I thought a Wildcat became a Cougar.
Is that right?
I don't know. If she's a Wildcat,
well, Vixen then
she
becomes a cougar eventually. Okay. That's how that works.
Gotcha. Okay.
lost me there.
I did see a a good bet that I liked going through the Chiefs in Atlanta one real quick. Travis Kelce to score 2 touchdowns is plus 900.
I mean,
you'd be hoping for that first drive touchdown.
Throw a $5 bill on that.
Yeah,
or something, right?
Put some beer money on it, Max.
That's what I'm saying. Yeah, I'm not gonna like hammer the house at him, but like I'm saying, like, if you think he's going to have the coming out party and you put all his numbers together and parlay it, it kind of dwindles it down a little bit. But like 2 touchdowns, Travis Kelce gets one in the first half. You're glued.
Yeah. I mean, the thing with Travis, I don't know if you guys agree. He actually was getting open last week. He just wasn't targeted as much as we would typically. It's not, there's been a lot of national narrative like, oh, he just can't get open anymore. He's too old.
The national narratives on this team are stupid. Yeah, it's all about clickbait. It really is. Like, I was at this event yesterday, and they had ESPN on, and the headline was, "Three-peat in jeopardy." And I'm like, geez.
No, he was getting open. It's going to happen at some point. I hope it's this Sunday night, but I'm not worried. Like, he's not suddenly only going to have 300 yards this season. We all know that.
Right. Right. But also, too, people don't understand this is load management. And this is the time of the year, the exhibition season, I call it, for the Chiefs, where they're working on things that they're going to use in January. This is like, let's see what Xavier Worthy can do. Let's see what Rashee Rice can do. Let's see what this guy can do. We know what Travis can do. And when we need him, he's going to be there. But this is the time to kind of work through some things and see what some of these young guys and some of these newcomers can do on this roster and see how we can develop them. It's more important to develop them than it is to get Travis Kelce involved.
Those are some of your Goldilocks. Before you get out of here, we did a poll question yesterday that we do every Wednesday, and it was, if you could have one time slot to watch the Chiefs, what is it, noon, 325, or 725? What say you, Alex Gold?
So it's 325. The reason for it is the red zone angle. I want load up the noon slate of red zone, then let me have standalone Chiefs game, and then I still get my Sunday night football game. Because I don't want to wait till Sunday night, which is what we're going to have this, but as many opportunities to watch Red Zone Channel, it's honestly the best thing.
It is.
It's so good. I know you were at one point, I feel like, kind of on the fence about Red Zone.
I was never in until last year when DirecTV got rid of Sunday Ticket, and I'm like, well, I'm not changing anything up. And I started watching Red Zone. I'm like, I know everything about the league in 3 hours. Like, you know everything about the league. And we were at the game last week, and I'm like, damn, I miss Red Zone, right? Like, you do miss that. So for me, I like the 3:25 start if I'm at home. If I go to the game, I like the noon start.
Okay. Although, man, the tailgating was awesome heading into Sunday. Though.
Oh, yeah. Has it ever not been awesome,
but
325, though?
But about 325, it gives, I mean, people are drinking all day. Like, it's a noon kickoff. I'm not saying, we know people line up at 2 a.m., et cetera. Right. But when it's a 325, you're out there from 7 a.m. all day drinking and eating.
Damn right.
Yeah. People are having a good time.
What do you got coming up on C&G today?
Yeah. So we'll start with the Royals, I'm sure, just like you guys were discussing a little bit, and where this team is at with 9 games to go.
You panicking?
Now, I'm not panicking, because they have a playoff spot still, and there's a team that is still going to get past before they get past. If I'm a Twins fan this morning, I'm panicking.
Okay.
Well, yeah, that team, I mean, they just don't want it. I mean, they don't.
I don't know.
The Twins don't want it?
It's been given to them.
I always hate that, though.
Like, they didn't even show up today.
They didn't want it. I always hate that. Like, those players just don't care.
Well,
like,
a lot of times they don't, though. At this point of the season, guys do check out.
Well, if I'm on the White Sox, I can't wait to check in for my flight for Cancun if I'm a White Sox.
Oh, yeah, you've already counted down the days. So what else you got going on?
Danan Hughes also going to join us, guys, a little bit later on. And we'll talk with Paul Charch and get you set for fantasy football. It's time to make some movement on the waiver wire.
The heck was that?
The rain's gone. The thunder's coming in now. Alex Gold, thank you once again, man. We appreciate time and have a good show today from 10 to 2. We'll see you in about 20 minutes.
20 minutes, if not before.
Okay, before. All right, that's Bob Fesco. I'm Dusty Likens. You just heard Alex Gold. You hear him at 10 a.m. with Cody on the other side. We'll get back into those Royals and what Ned Yost told us you could look forward to when it comes to this playoff scenario for your Kansas City Royals on 96.5 The Fan, your home for Kansas City sports.
You're listening to Fesco and Dusty on your new home for Chiefs football, 96.5 The Fan.
Here's a headline, Dusty, that I'm going to click on every single time when I see something like this.
Orgy and Trojans?
No, that was earlier. Diddy's first meal behind bars at New York jail revealed. Of course I'm going to click on what he's eating.
Oh, God, Bob.
What do you think he had in prison for lunch, his first meal?
I don't even want to go near this.
Yeah, this whole story, Swedish meatballs. He was also given the option of a vegetarian black bean burger.
Oh my God.
I'm fascinated with that kind of stuff.
What, a black bean burger?
No, just like, you know, I told you we did the scared straight thing as a kid and went behind, you know, the walls and whatnot and saw how it operates. Like, I'm just like, what goes on, like, on a day-to-day basis inside jail? It's just always been like a fascinating thing for me.
I thought the funniest meme I saw of the whole Diddy thing was a picture of him and R. Kelly over the faces of Eddie Murphy and who's the other guy in Life? It's the two of them sitting at the dinner table in jail shirts.
Oh.
Yeah.
Ugh. The meal came with a choice of sides, including egg noodles, green beans, a garden salad with dressing, and a beverage.
The dressing.
Speaking of green beans, you can get some of those in mashed potatoes and a steak.
That's right. I'll be out at Hy-Vee from 11 to 1, 95th and Antioch, $10 steak date. It's at all the Hy-Vees, not just the one at 95th and Antioch, but that's where I'll be today. If you want to come throw a pie at my face, you can do that.
You can do that?
Yeah. Well, if you wanted to, go buy a pie at Hy-Vee and you can do whatever you want with, as long as you buy the pie at Hy-Vee, right?
What's the best pie you can get?
Oh, boy.
French silk, not even a question.
Yeah.
Or a nice lemon meringue.
I like a strawberry pie. You like a chocolate peanut butter pie.
You like pie,
strawberry pie?
Yeah, oh, God, yes.
I don't know if I've ever had that.
Good thing you can only see his face on that camera.
Apple pie. It's the best pie.
You ever had an a la mode apple pie where you put a piece of American cheese on it?
No.
The cheese on a la mode is ice cream, but the cheese on pie is like a Vermont thing, right? Like they put the cheese on a pie. It's supposed to be a piece of cheddar on top. I've never had it.
I did see an interesting tweet about tonight's football game with the Jets and the Patriots. This is the first time the Jets have been favorites against the New England Patriots in 25 years.
Wow. My
God.
That's insane to think about.
Because last year, obviously, Aaron Rodgers out. They were going to take Patriots as a favorite, even if it was like a point or two, one and a half. 25 years it's been since the Jets have been favored.
Mac, were you Sanchez even born years? The last time the Jets were a favorite over the Patriots?
Well, he's 25.
So 26. So, so 1 year old.
You were one.
This is from Ben Fox. F-A-W-K-E-S or fuck Hayes. I don't know if that's a cuss word.
Be careful.
I know. That's what it says. That's what it says. New York Jets, -6 now, not 6.5, will be favored against the New England Patriots for the first time in 25 games. Sorry, 25 games tonight.
Oh, 25.
Sorry.
I was going to say, Mark Sanchez. Decent Jets teams.
The 24 straight meetings has been the longest active head-to-head streak of one team favored versus another in NFL per ESPN stats info.
Wow. That makes more sense.
So, 12 years. Still. But even still, I mean, 12 years. God.
12 years, so 2012. That's right when that would have been right around Sanchez.
That's the last, I think, year of. Because weren't they like 10 and 11? They were in the AFC Championship game and then kind of went all downhill after that. They haven't recovered since,
Strawberry pie is the best pie ever from the 660. Where do I get one of those?
Yeah, where do I? I just never seen it.
Just look it up. You'll find them. They're all over the place. You can get a good strawberry pie.
Royals off today. They'll be back again Friday. And I think it's interesting when you look at this game on Friday, it is against the San Francisco Giants.
Right.
And we'll be doing some special stuff here in a couple weeks because it'll be the 10-year anniversary of the wild card game.
Mm-hmm.
And the Royals will be in the playoffs. I already have it marked.
Yes, they will. I told you that months ago, though. It's just a little rough right now.
Yeah. And Ned kind of shared a little information about how you could see, because a lot of people say, well, how does, you know, what if Lugo pitches on the last game of the season or what if whatever? This was what Ned said to us to tease what we will talk about here in a couple weeks about the 10-year anniversary.
I learned this during the Atlanta years is that on a pitcher, the stress and the workload, if you will, per pitch is elevated to such a degree that, you know, you're just giving everything every pitch. So normally you're not going to go as far in a playoff game as you would in a regular season game. The pressure is so much more, your intensity, your focus, you're just every pitch, you're giving it all that you had.
And so, you know, thinking about our team right now where we are, I don't like that, right? Because our strength from a pitching standpoint, Dusty, is our starting pitching. Our bullpen is, other than Ursa, and Lynch IV has pitched well. I think he has like 14 and a third straight scoreless appearance or scoreless innings or whatever it is, you know, for him. And I think Bubic can be there for you, but our strength is our starting pitchers. And if they're only able to get you into the fourth or the fifth inning in these postseason games, you're going to be turning this thing over to the bullpen. And Ned told us that about a month before the playoffs started, they kind of started thinking about the process of how they were going to use their pitching rotation. And they knew that 7, 8, and 9 were going to be fine. How do we get the 7, 8, and 9? Well, we could probably get 5 out of our starter. What are we going to do about the 6? So a month before, that's when they decided Giordano was going to be the answer for them. And we all know it didn't work out for them in the 6th inning, but it wasn't like that was just something they just decided on, you know, 5 seconds before they put him in there. That was kind of the plan all along. And I listened to that comment. I'm like, man, we're going to have to expect more out of our starting pitchers, aren't we? If we want to advance in the postseason, because if Lugo only goes 5 or if Reagans only goes 5 or whatever the case may be, and then you're relying on the bullpen for 6, 7, 8, and 9, that's a lot to ask for a bullpen that just hasn't been that reliable this year.
Yeah, I mean, not only that, I know that, you know, you kind of bring that up in a way about it is that yeah, you're going to have three pitchers that you're going to rely on, and then you can add Singer, Marsh, Lynch, who I think Lynch has been fine.
Actually, Lynch IV's been good.
Man. Yeah, and that can make your bullpen stronger.
But some guys don't know how to, relied on Yordano out of the bullpen. Yeah. It didn't go well, right?
And maybe that was just part of a rough stretch because he pitched that last game of that season and got rocked, and then he goes into that start or that little spot place, and, obviously Brandon Moss hit that towering home run to center, and it was like, oh, boy. But, no, I am interested to see where the bullpen, gets its facelift in the postseason run. For the Kansas City Royals. And yes, I do believe the Royals will be in the postseason.
Yeah, I think we're still going to the postseason. I know people maybe don't want to hear that this morning, or maybe they do. I don't know how you're reacting, but however you're feeling is how you're feeling, and I can't get mad at you either way. If you're optimistic, if you're not optimistic, I mean, we saw what happened over these last 4 days, and the magic number's been 8 since Saturday, and the next time they play a game is Friday, and the magic number's still going to be 8.
Yeah.
It hasn't moved in basically a week. That's not a great sign.
We still get to the best audio we've heard all week.
Mike, Justin mentioned how rewarding it was to get the win in Denver for Russ. He said you gave out a petty game ball. Is that something that you've done often? Is it rewarding for you to get that win for him?
None of your businesses, respectfully. There's certain things that go on among teams that I don't talk about. Whether it gets out or how it gets out is unimportant to me, and I'm not overly guarded against it. But it's just certain things as a leader that I talk to the collective about that I have zero intentions of sharing with the larger public, because it's about our collective and how we come together and how we appreciate and support one another. And, I can't give you all the ingredients to the hot dog. You might not like it.
Mm-hmm.
What a treasure.
When he said respectfully, it was not respectfully at all.
I mean,
Mike, Justin mentioned how rewarding it was to get the win in Denver for Russ. He said you gave out a petty game ball. Is that something that you've done often? Is it rewarding for you to get that win for him?
None of your businesses, respectfully.
And you go from one of the most loved coaches to one of the most hated.
What about his coaching style? What about his kind of teaching philosophy lends itself to such good running production?
He's just a great coach. I mean, one of the best I've ever been around. Like Moses, I'm gonna die leaning on my staff. Greg Roman, Jesse Minner, Ryan Fick, and those coordinators are, in my opinion, some of the best in the business.
Mm-hmm.
There you go. Like Moses, he's gonna lean on his staff.
That's right.
There you go.
His rod and his staff will comfort him. So hopefully Greg Roman does a good job with that.
That's right.
Greg Roman feels like he's coached on every NFL staff ever.
Sounds like a Days of Our Lives character.
Greg Roman?
Mm-hmm.
Does Greg Roman have a good jaw?
Nobody's got a better jaw than you, Bob Fesco.
Yeah, most people do.
And get your jaw ready. They'll get you a steak and go see Bob Fesco on the Antioch location at Hy-Vee. But also, go do nice things for people. You never know. It could change their day, week, month, or year. It's simply cool to care. Kansas City, stay safe. Stay kind. We'll talk to you tomorrow on a Red Friday. And I got some bad news if you're an Atlanta Falcons fan. Take care. Cody and Gold coming up next on 96.5 The Fan.